Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 37, verses 14 to 20. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who rules his church with his powerful word, dear fellow redeemed. As we've been going through the book of Isaiah in our sermon studies, we've also been going through Paul's letter to the Romans in our epistle reading. And last Sunday, we heard this amazing passage. And we know that all things, not some things, not most things, but all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. All things. Having written those confident, assured words through inspiration, the Apostle Paul then continued to write this question. If God is for us, who can be against us? Knowing full well the answer. No one. Nothing can be against us if God is for us. And that's been the motto of many, many Christians throughout the centuries as they faced peril, trials, danger, death, hardship, persecutions, loneliness, disease, terminal illness. Noah, faithfully, spent 100 years building that ark, even in the face of ridicule by his neighbors, because he knew the Lord was on his side. Moses went up to the powerful king Pharaoh and said, God says, let my people go, faithfully knowing the Lord God is the only God of heaven and earth, not some king, and he would be on his side. Gideon attacked and destroyed, routed that 135,000 people or soldiers of Midian with only 300 men. Holding torches, blowing trumpets, and shouting, the sword of the Lord in Gideon. Because Gideon knew the Lord was on his side. David, a young teenager, went up against the giant Goliath. The sling and the five stones. Knowing he would kill him because God, it was God's deliverance that he trusted in. The Lord was on his side. Elijah faced the 400 prophets of Baal and wicked King Ahab on Mount Carmel, unafraid, knowing the Lord would show his power with fire coming down upon his altar because the Lord was with him. Daniel faced the lions then, and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, faced the fiery furnace, unafraid, because the Lord was on their side. If God is for us, who can be against us? In every case, these heroes of faith entered into that terrible, terrible time with one intent, and that is to praise God. To give God praise so that everyone would see and know that the Lord Jehovah is the only God of heaven and earth. All went to face their enemies, echoing the words of Hebrews 11, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? In our study through Isaiah, we've now come to a very, very interesting portion. In fact, one of the most exciting portions of history and the most amazing prophecies in all of the Old Testament. At this time, Jerusalem, the entire city, is surrounded by Assyrian soldiers. Over 185,000 soldiers are encamped around the city of Jerusalem, having destroyed most of Judah. We heard the Rabshakeh, the spokesman for the king of Assyria, bragging about his king. He said, "Don't rely upon the king of Egypt. He can't help you. Don't listen to Hezekiah. He's going to lead you astray. Don't rely upon your God. We've destroyed all the other gods of all the other nations, burnt their idols, their statues, destroyed them all. No one can help you. Make a treaty with us now. Surrender." What would you do if you looked out the window and you saw thousands and thousands of enemy soldiers surrounding you saying, "Surrender"? How would you feel? To whom would you turn? In whom would you trust? If God is for us, who can be against us? Even 185,000 heavily armed, well-trained soldiers was not a match for the Lord God. Hezekiah knew that, and that's why he went up into the temple to pray to the Lord and lay the whole set issue into the Lord's hands. We're told that Hezekiah went up, laid before the Lord the letter that he'd gotten from King Sennacherib, and this is what the letter said. The king is boasting to the king Hezekiah. Sennacherib writes, "Do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, 'Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria.' Look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by utterly destroying them. And will you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my fathers have destroyed? Gozan and Haran and Mephez and the people of Eden who were in Telazar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva?" Hezekiah takes this letter, lays it before the Lord, and begins to pray. What a wonderful lesson we learn from this amazing prayer from this child of God. First thing is, Hezekiah begins with praise to God, telling God why he knows God can and will deliver him from all these thousands and thousands of enemy soldiers. We read in verse 16, "O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth." Hezekiah's confidence is because all things are completely under God's control. Not only did God create all of creation, but he controlled all of creation. He rules over all of it. Today we pray, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever." Secondly, we see Hezekiah lays this whole problem before the Lord. We read, "Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God." Hezekiah's concern is for the glory and honor of the Lord God. King Sennacherib had a wrong idea about Jehovah. He thought he was just like all the other gods of all the other nations that they had destroyed. All those gods, he said, "We've crushed them. We've burned them. We've thrown them into the fire. They're all destroyed. None of those gods could stop me and my great armies. They've all been destroyed, and their lands have been taken over." But the Lord Jehovah is not a man-made object. Not something that was made out of stone or made out of wood. He can't be smashed and burned in the fire. He's the one and only Lord God of heaven and earth. And King Sennacherib was blaspheming him. This evil, proud, unbelieving world does the very same thing. How many people in this world don't just stand obstinately against God, rejecting his word, not coming to hear his word, rejecting his commandments, his decrees, blaspheming him with their speech, thinking themselves to be God, saying, no one can tell me what to do, or no one can stop me from doing whatever I want to do, and live their life in opposition to God. May our prayers ever be that we give praise alone to the Lord God, and pray that when we get delivered from situations, trials, temptations, dilemmas, whatever it may be, that the Lord God receives the honor and praise for delivering us from all those situations in life. And finally, we see Hezekiah lays his request in before the Lord. He says, truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of the men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone. Hezekiah readily admits, yep, King Hezekiah, he's pretty powerful. His soldiers, they're mean. They've destroyed one nation after another, after another, after another. And all those gods, they've all been crushed and smashed and burned in the fire. Nowhere in this prayer does Hezekiah mention, I want to trust myself. I want to put my pride in my power, my soldiers, my battle plans. And nowhere does he say, Lord, give me a little bit of glory and praise when you do the success and the victory. And nowhere does he even mention one thing about doing this because the people deserve to be delivered. It's simply a humble prayer from a believing child of God, laying all before his Lord, knowing that he will be gracious and merciful to him, have pity upon them, and saying, when you win the victory, all praise, all glory, all honor be given to you. So we need to ask, are our prayers like that? Do we pray that God be glorified in our work? Or do we hope that everyone sees our work, especially our bosses and superiors, so that we get a raise? Do we pray for God to be honored and praised in our schooling, in our personal relationships with others, in our activities? Or do we look for the honor and praise and acclamation of people? In our troubles, in our trials, in our hardships, in our dilemmas, do we seek the Lord's help, firmly trusting and believing that he can and will see us through all of this, and by his word give us the guidance, the wisdom, the love, the strength, the selflessness to persevere to the end? Or do we just cross our fingers and hope for the best and say, well, it's up to me, or fate? If God is for us, who can be against us? Paul writes, God did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him, with Jesus, also freely give us all things? All things we need for our bodies, and especially all things we need for our souls. I've said this before, and I'll say it until I die. The Christian should be the most confident, the most optimistic, the most joy-filled person on the face of the earth. Because God is for us, who or what can be against us? In fact, Jesus prays for that same kind of confident joy in each of our hearts in his high priestly prayer. He said to his Father, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. And what was the Savior's joy? His joy was to serve his Father and thereby glorify his name. Over and over again in the high priestly prayer of Jesus, he says, Father, glorify your name. Glorify your name. Praise be to your name. And that's what we should do too. Praise our Savior's name. Be optimistic, confident, because all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We're filled with Christ's joy when we live our lives in humble, confident assurance of Christ's shed blood for us. When we turn to his word in repentance, seeking and finding the forgiveness that Jesus earned for us. We turn to his word for strength for our hearts. And we persevere to the very end, watchful to the Lord. And we do everything to glorify his name. We're just about a month away from all of our fall activities here at Peace Through Christ. We pray that the Holy Spirit move and compel all of you to get involved, to glory of your Savior's name. Get involved in our Bible class on Sunday morning and Wednesday night by Zoom. Get involved in Sunday school as children by attending faithfully and regularly, as adults by helping teach. Get involved in serving a council or as voters in a voters meeting. Get involved in singing in the choir. Get involved in helping us build our float. And then be there on Sunday the 29th to walk in the parade and hand out invitations for people to come to our church. Get involved in our Hand Us Helping Hands meetings that are also monthly by Zoom. Get involved in inviting people to come. Come and hear God's word and especially tell them Jesus is the only Savior of mankind. You want to have the same confident joy, the same optimistic spirit that we have? Come and see Jesus. Hear God's word. Get involved in all the opportunities the Lord gives us so that what we do glorifies God. So, what happened to Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem? We find out in the last verses of chapter 37. Then the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses, all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. 185,000 soldiers struck dead. Not by disease, not by natural disaster, not by another powerful enemy, but by the angel of the Lord. Listen again to Paul's words. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. What a tremendous way to learn that lesson firsthand by King Hezekiah and the people of Judah. They looked out their windows that morning, and there they were, hundreds of thousands of dead soldiers lying outside the city's walls. Oh, and King Sennacherib, we're told that sometime later, back in his town, he went into the temple of his god and was kneeling to pray to his god Nishrak. Two of his sons snuck up on him and assassinated him and killed him. What a powerful, powerful king, killed by his own sons. May we learn this same lesson. All of our enemies have and shall meet the same fate. Satan has been conquered by Christ's sacrifice. Death has been destroyed by his resurrection from the grave. Our sinful flesh has been drowned in Christ through baptism and through our daily confession and repentance. They all lay there dead at the feet of our conquering hero, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. May our response to all of this be one of thanksgiving and praise to our God, honoring and serving him every day of our lives, always to the glory of his name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.